people expecting prices to be lower this year.
Or crude oil doesn't equal crude oil. With the current prices, it's really borderlines.
Hello and welcome to Uniper's Market Insights. We hope that you had a good start into the new year. My name is Florian Oberländer, and on my side again, of course, our expert Gregor Petz. Hi, Gregor.
Hi, Florian.
Hope you had a good start into 2026 as well.
Yeah, very good, very relaxing, very, very nice.
Good. That's how it's supposed to
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, or for us, fortunately, was a little bit more speed up on the energy markets right out of the gate. You know, we want to talk a little bit about Venezuela, Iran, and the impact on the oil markets today. We also want to give an update on the power plant strategy, discuss the power production of 2025 in numbers, and also we'll give a little outlook on this year. What can we expect? But I want to start with a question from Uniper's next generation, and it comes from Lily Wobleski, who has the following question.
Hello, my name is Lily Wobleski. I am a dual student at Uniper. I am studying business administration, and I'm also doing an apprenticeship to become an industrial clerk. And my question is, what exactly is the OPEC?
The OPEC is a cartel of states. These states export oil. And it was formed in 1960 from a situation where the oil price was low and all these states trying to finance their budgets with oil revenues. And they felt that the price should be higher, so they get a better share of the revenue. So they formed this cartel to influence the price due to the influence of the volume they would produce. And so it's a quota cartel, so they agree on quotas. They had a lot of success in the 70s in what in the West was called the oil price shock. Yeah, so when the prices suddenly went up, and it's currently 12 states are members, so it's varying a little bit over time. And there's also something called OPEC Plus, where other countries that are not formally members of OPEC, like Russia, join them to achieve a common goal.
And one of the members is Venezuela, who has the
founding member actually.
It has the biggest known oil reserves at this point, and so quite a significant player when it comes to that. And of course, it was in the news, you know, at the start of this year. The president was captured and brought to the States, currently in Brooklyn. But we want to focus on the impact on oil here. And Venezuela previously produced numbers around 3 million barrels a day. That went down quite drastically to around 1 million barrels per day. We heard news about Trump taking 50 million barrels out of the reserve and selling it and so on. The big players when it comes to oil in the States were a little bit hesitant in the reactions. What would you say is the current situation now? What is the impact on the oil market?
Well, it's easier said than done. The Venezuelan crude is very specific from the quality. Or crude oil doesn't equal crude oil. So they have different qualities. So this one is very, very dense, very heavy. You need specific installations then to refine it. It's got nothing to do with the final product that you get as heating oil or diesel or other oil products. So there's the entire refinery process in between, and you need specific installations then to deal with this heavy crude. So which means then you need to invest, and handling it is more expensive than other grades of crude, and all these you need to take into account when you talk about what impact that has on the markets.
Yeah, and then of course the logistics and transport and stuff like that. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about the so-called break-even point there? I mean, given the current prices, oil per barrel is around $63 per barrel. What is the break-even point here?
Yeah, well, you have to look at for each sort of crude or each grade of crude, at which price can you sell the final product to the customer, and then calculate backwards with all the technical equipment you need then to get there. So what is left then as a revenue for the producer? And for the crude from Venezuela, it's with the current prices, it's really borderline. So whether you can bring additional, whether if you've got to invest additional money, whether you can bring that to the market at current prices. And there's a conflict of interest. States that produce oil use it for their state budgets, and so they have an interest in a high price. But then the consumers, of course, don't like that. So, and the U.S. also is a country where the price of gas, petrol, plays a role. So there's certainly a complex situation and conflicts of interest involved.
For sure. How did markets react to the news there?
First it went up, but then it calmed down a little bit. We have to take into account also that people take speculative positions also on these announcements. So the sometimes very volatile way in which communication on geopolitics takes place, of course, fuels speculation on the markets.
And then in addition, we had the situation in Iran, and Iran is an OPEC member as well and produces around 4 million barrels per day, so a little bit higher than Venezuela.
Absolutely.
Rhetoric there also changed a little bit, but did it impact the prices there as well?
Yeah, sure, but people in the meantime are a little bit used to the rhetoric, but it certainly has an impact, and I would expect that to continue as well.
Yeah, something we will observe and report on in this format here, as usual. Yeah, and when we talk about the beginning of the year, we also had from Uniper's side a lot of press releases that came out, communicated that we took some investment decisions on solar projects. We signed a contract over 7 years for a storage of batteries, something we previously discussed here as well. We started the sales process of our helium business, and positive news coming out of India. Here we signed a long-term contract over 500,000 tons of renewable ammonia, which is very, very positive. That is something that our CEO, Mike Lewis, was able to bring back from his Indian trip with our chancellor, Mr. Merz. So very positive. And to you out there, if you are interested in press releases and what Uniper does, check out uniper.energy. There you can find everything. We move over to power production in the last year, 2025. Preliminary numbers at this point, not everything is in, but we can discuss this. What do you think was the overall picture? Did production go up, down?
Yeah, mixed. So that's always the right answer, probably. So US much higher than previously, Germany more sideways, and Europe in general more mixed. So that's it's always a function of course, industrial production, and also if you have of weather, for example, that certainly plays a role here.
So not only an expert, also a politician.
Yeah, that's some statements are always right. It's
but let's take a look into the details. You were actually right with your answer. Sweden is estimated to be lower in overall production. Of course, the share of renewables was quite significant here again with 66%. UK was similar to last year. Renewables here were slightly under 50%. Yeah, and you already mentioned it, USA was quite high with 4,200 terawatt hours. So that's the record, and gas was in the lead there. Let me take a look at Germany. We had a total production of 437. That's almost the same amount as last year. Renewables with slightly under 60%. So that's good news. Gas went up 1% to a total share of 14%, which I think it shows again that, you know, gas remains a very important player when it comes to the energy mix.
Yeah, and that will continue. I mean, you need the balance to the somehow volatile renewable production. This is where gas plays a role, and we expect that, of course, to continue.
Good deal. Let's take a look at the pricing real quick in Germany. We had today ahead with an average of 90 euros per megawatt hour. So that's almost the same as last year. The annual contract, however, which is on average 90 euros per megawatt hour, went down by 30 euros in comparison to the previous year. So quite significant. And that's something we hear in the press currently as well, that people expecting prices to be lower this year.
Again, there is a significant impact of industrial production, which is, of course, quite dampened right now. But when we talk about prices, also the supply. And as you said, 60% is renewables. So that's strongly influenced by weather. So which means then If we have a good year for solar and for wind, yeah, so the prices will likely be lower. And then we have gas in the peak hours then, and when there is no renewable production available, so to compensate for that. And then the price of gas in these hours, the price of gas has an influence on the power price as well. And then we have all the geopolitical effects that have an influence on the gas price in that situation. So it's not that black and white, but generally speaking, we have a situation where the uncertainties would rather increase the prices, but on the other side, the general economic situation in Europe in particular has a dampening effect on prices, and these equal out, and where it goes, we will see. But it's not that black and white. So,
And then LNG supply, for example, is always something that we have.
And last but not least, I mean, as we've seen in the example in Berlin, where the power distribution grid was out for certain parts of Berlin, if things, pieces of infrastructure are damaged, then of course production capacity is affected. That could also have an effect on prices, of course. Yeah. So if you've got outages for some period, that will have a price increasing effect. Yeah. And we hope that doesn't happen, and we have to protect the infrastructure. But if it happens, it will have an effect.
Okay. Yeah. That's clear. And you mentioned it already, gas as a kind of bridge technology towards the renewables in the peak hours, at least. And in November, we also mentioned the Dunkelflaute, the dark doldrum topic, and to introduce that to our audience. Now, in the meantime, there was an update from the Kraftwerkstrategie, the power plant strategy. Can you share some details on that with us, please?
Yeah, that's good news. I mean, the German government reached an agreement with the EU Commission on the so-called power plant strategy, Kraftwerkstrategie. There will be a capacity will be auctioned with the contracts awarded for 15 years, and there are two auctions are planned towards mid and end of 2026 for 12 gigawatts of capacity, which is certainly a very important piece that we go ahead with that. Other countries like UK have years-long experience with similar setups, so and it's very important that we go there because that will enable also the phase-out of coal-fired capacity at some point and still keep the system stable. Yeah, so that's very important.
Okay. The 15 years, as you mentioned, give a little bit more investment security for sure.
Otherwise, nobody will invest. You have a certain degree of certainty that you'll get a return on your investment.
And something that our CEO Mike Lewis also shared, he commented on LinkedIn as well, that Uniper will be ready to enter the auctions with 2 gigawatts in locations like Scholven and Staudinger when we talk about security of supply here as well. So a positive step forward.
Yeah, and these locations are very central in the grid, so they're very fit for this purpose we want to achieve.
Okay. If we have updates on that, of course, we will report on this here as well. Coming over to questions from the audience, and received one that goes back a little bit to what we discussed in the last episode as well. What is the storage paradox?
The storage paradox,
very mysterious.
It's mysterious, and it's a big word. I mean, storage. If you have storage capacity, what you do is inject typically in summer, and you withdraw in winter. You do it only if the price differential covers for the cost you have when you book the storage. So that's a very economic equation. And if this differential between the summer and the winter price is too small, then it's not worth booking the storage in the first place. If you don't book the storage operator also doesn't have the revenue to really keep the storage going. Currently, that differential is low, too low, to basically make all of that work. And the reason is, for example, an expectation that the differential between the weather, for example, high temperatures in summer, low temperatures in winter, that doesn't drive the price in a way that justifies that. There are other sources of flexibility like LNG. All of that put together leads to that situation. And the problem is everybody takes enough storage or other flexibility to deliver gas to their customers. So that's a given. So nobody would speculate that they find all the gas they need for the customers at some point. That's not happening. But the protection against outages, for example, one storage site has a problem and you have enough gas in other sites then to compensate for that. Or you have supply sources failing and you have to compensate through storage. If you want an insurance premium, And that is not what the market currently pays for.
Yeah.
You can call that the storage paradox. Yeah. It certainly is the economic reality.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah. And I looked up storage numbers as well, which are in Europe around 50% at this point. So below the previous years for sure. So very important topic, of course, is the storage paradox, explained by Gregor Pett. Very good. Let's come to our last question. It comes from another member of Uniper's Next Generation. We have a question from Michael. Let's hear what he wants to know.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Michael, and I'm in my second year of my dual studies for industrial management. I wanted to know what we should look out for in the new year in regards to the energy markets.
How much time do we have to answer that question? Yeah, I mean, let's start with the geopolitical situation. Of course, that has an impact on commodity prices, on gas prices, oil prices, but also on critical infrastructure, whether there will be outages, etc. So we certainly need to make sure we protect that properly. So the geopolitical situation is one. Then the economic situation with all the potential trade conflicts out there, and also the focus shifting more towards security, and that of course has an impact on economy. So that's the second one. But then last but not least, weather of course has also an important impact on energy markets, as we've seen. Yeah, so that is certainly an important factor and becoming more important as we speak.
So a lot of things we have to observe and consider in 2026 as well.
We will.
Won't get boring, I think.
Never is.
All right, Gregor. And of course, not to forget, the next big step for us is the e-world, where Uniper will have a presence as well and meet a lot of customers.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
All right. That's it for this episode already. I'm looking forward to the rest of the year and the next episodes with you. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Florian. Mm-hmm.
And to you out there, thanks for watching or listening. Again, we are available on our landing page on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and Audible. So just stop by there and check us out. Thanks for tuning in again. Until next time. Bye-bye.